Op die kassie met Ashmont Martin, jou kollig op die klein skerm.
Dis alweer tyd vir Op die kassie, and listen, today we get to speak everything food again. Of course, you know I'm a self-proclaimed foodie, and Celebrity MasterChef South Africa was back, of course, on S3. And this past Saturday on the 4th of January at 8:30, we witnessed a culinary showdown between content creator style icon GQ's best dressed winner, of course, Seth Shezi, and versatile media personality Danae Ranaka, where they were both fighting for the coveted title as Celebrity MasterChef South Africa, of course, and the grand prize of 1 million rand, where half of which will go to charity. And I've got, of course, the winner on the line, Seth Shezi. Seth, how are you doing, my brother?
I'm great, especially after listening to that intro. I'm like, oh, he sounds impressive. Oh, it's me. Okay.
It's you.
Thank you for making me feel good.
Yes, it's definitely you. Listen, I want to find out from you. Describe that moment when they announced that this is happening, you know, and that you are the winner. What was going through your mind?
You know, like just sheer relief. You know, that it was like, oh, it's finally over. Because what you don't understand is how long they drag out their announcement. It is the most painful. You think that like slaving and running around for 3 hours trying to cook the most impressive meal is the straight. No. It's the final moment where the judges are just staring you down saying the winner is. And it takes forever before they say the words. And like in that moment, you just, I think even Danae said it. She was like, just say a name, because that's how desperate you feel in that moment. And so when they say a name, it's a huge sigh of relief. So yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, it was a huge sigh of relief. And then it took like maybe a few seconds before it kicks in what this actually means.
Because
at first you just hear the name and you're like, oh, a name has been said. Oh, you're like, oh, wait, hang on. It's me. And it means I've won. Oh, you know, and then you start to feel the emotion and everything.
Stunning. Listen, if you could describe your cooking style in 3 words, what would they be?
Probably very creative, eclectic, and unstructured. So I think that the way that I look at food is it has to feed my inner child, and I need to create things that make me dream and feel excited. And that's why I think you saw on the final, I spent 2 of my 3 hours allocated cooking a dish that is raw. It's because I just needed it to feel so spectacular and be like a little like dreamland kind of spectacle. And I think I achieved that. So I was really proud and happy about that. But on the other side, it means I did waste 2 hours on just one dish. And so then the rest of the other hour, I was just like running around sweating. But it felt like worth it, because when I heard the critiques from the judges say like, listen, if this wasn't judging for MasterChef, we would finish this starter. I was like, cool, at least this was worth it. Whatever else happens, you know, is up to the stars. But at least that managed. And I guess like you do want people to dream a little bit when you give them your food, when you plate it, put it in front of them.
Correct.
We all eat with our eyes first, and our eyes must be happy and jolly before our time is sung.
That is true. Now, you had a clean sweep in the competition, you know. What was your secret sauce for success? You know, can you share a memorable moment from the show that made you laugh or that also surprised you?
Oh, no. It was mostly the disasters, actually, that made you laugh the most. So, like, when I first came down, I'd flown up because I was on holiday in London, and I only had a small selection of clothes, and I wore my jeans, my favorite jeans. They're so comfortable. They're super baggy. This is a great idea, in theory. I'd never, ever needed to run to the pantry back and forth in a panic in those jeans. They were falling off like no other. And I was just like, why did today need to be the day where I chose fashion over function? So later on when I was watching it and the judges, I was like, oh, this is actually comical. But at the filming, I was dying. I was just like, no, why today? So that was funny. And then also just getting to sort of like hear how people cope when they're in stressful situations. Mm. There was a lot of beeping that I think all of the editors needed to do, because people were beeping a lot during that moment, which is kind of funny how you sort of like interact and with people when they're like in panic stations.
Listen, Seth, you also mentioned your passion for food, of course, but who are your culinary inspirations and how have they influenced your cooking? You know, what dish would you say represents you the most and why?
I think that one has probably been like a work in progress because I'm like a rolling stone. I collect like inspiration like a sponge as I basically experience and see things. When I remember the very first time I was fascinated with the idea of cooking was with my grandmother. She lived in like the deep rural KZN and she had this like table because I mean the weather's always lovely anyway except the rain at 2 p.m. So she had this table outside which was this wooden table and everything she did was on the table. So literally if she had to chop some onions, she would come outside and leave a perfectly nice table inside and the counter. She'd go and chop everything at the table. She'd mix all of the things there. And I remember how fascinated I was with always sitting at that table and helping her and like catching things if they fall and stuff like that. And that was when I was like first kind of like romanticized to the idea of like making food and making it be this elaborate process and then presenting it like with love to your loved ones. So she plays a huge role to me. And then over the years, through my work, being able to sort of review restaurants and being like a food judge internationally, I then have met some of my food heroes, some of the people I actually used to watch, you know, as guest judges on MasterChef when I was younger. And I've gotten to meet these people like the Massimo Bottura, who's been like, you know, the world's best chef for many years. But some local ones as well, like there's a chef friend of mine called Ryan Cole from Salsify. He actually, like one of the dishes that he had taught me many years ago, I used that component in one of the winning dishes that I made. So like I pick up influences and things along the way, like a sponge basically.
Absolutely stunning. Now you've chosen the support to support Ladles for Love, if I'm correct. What made you
Ladles of Love, yes.
What made you passionate about this charity, you know? And how do you hope to use your platform to make a difference in the community?
So I, first of all, it was important for me that my charity that I chose had something to do with food because I think that besides it, MasterChef being a food competition at the highest level, it also is a competition that celebrates what food can do because it's more than just feeding and making sure that you are full. Food is theater, it's dreaming, it provides opportunity. And in terms of work, it's also the industry that has the lowest barrier of entry. So a lot of people without skills in a country like South Africa that has high unemployment, you do need that industry to sort of like be celebrated. But specifically for Ladles of Love, I first worked with them or interacted with them in June 2020, where everyone was sort of scared and hibernating and trying to figure out what the next move was. And they were still out there trying to find, get food, making meals to feed like children and people without structured homes. And I just felt like that was so impactful to me at the time because I was like sort of locked down by myself and thinking, well, I don't have real issues that I can think about. Yes, sure, I'm uncertain because times are uncertain, but I feel fine. I know where my meals are going to come from. I feel fine for the next foreseeable period. That was the first time I kind of reckoned with the fact that someone out there not very far from me doesn't know where their next hot meal comes from. So they've always stayed in my heart because of that reason. So to be given an opportunity to sort of like give money or help in any way, it was just a no-brainer for me.
Wow, that's so inspiring, Seth. Listen, before I let you go, I want to quickly run through some quick fire round questions with you, if that's okay.
Sure.
I'll just say a word and you respond with the first thing that comes to your mind. On the list, number one, chocolate.
Oh, I love it. Obsession.
Obsession. Italy.
Favorite destination. It's not even a dream destination because now I go all the time, but like still like where my heart resides. Like there's just the food, the way that it's made. It's so simple and honest. It makes me feel like I'm eating someone like a relative's food, but it's foreign to me.
Stunning. Cooking fail?
Comedy. Like I don't think we should take them seriously because I have had plenty and look at me, I still won. So I think just learn something from it and just keep laughing and go through it. It's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine. Ultimate comfort food?
Probably pasta.
Pasta. So back to Italy. Yeah.
It's something that's very like normal and you can make it yourself. And it's also something that's just like carby and simple. And yet there's so many ways you can make it that becomes enriching and comforting. And then recently I've kind of like fallen in love with sampan beans because when I was younger, I used to love it because that's one of the things my grandmother used to make. And then I fell out of love with it because like, I think when you grow up, become a teenager, you're rebellious. You're like, I'm too bougie for this. And now when I was at home now, for Christmas, I made sampan beans and then we had slaughtered like an animal. And so I used the juices that had come from that had been cooking for like 8 hours to basically use as a stock for the sampan beans. It was the most ridiculous thing I've tasted. And this is coming from me who like constantly has to eat out at these places. And I was like, yeah, sampan beans can be made into something special. So yeah, I think it's a comfort food now again.
It's a comfort food. Last one, dream dinner guest.
Oh, that's a difficult one. Probably it would have to be, oh, you stumped me now. Maybe someone like you. You sound like a great guy and I've never met you. So I should, like, it would be wonderful to, like, every time when I have dinner, for me, I think that it's a great way to, like, break the ice and share a bit of yourself. So when you cook for someone, you literally are giving a bit of yourself. And it's the nicest way to meet someone. So I guess, yeah, anyone new. So you actually right now, you've made me feel really good today. So I think it would be a nice dinner.
Seth, I'm taking you up on that one. You've all listened to, you all heard it here on OFM.
Yeah, we've got witnesses.
We've got witnesses. Listen, Seth, thanks so much for taking time to chat to me. Before I let you go, what's next for you? What's next up in line? Is there a food stall opening, a restaurant, something? What's happening? Spill like the tea.
A little kiosk. No. So I think I live such a transient life and I love it that way. I need to constantly be here and everywhere. I don't think a permanent, like, restaurant is in, like, in my bones. And I know that's kind of disappointing because constantly all day people are flooding me with DMs saying, cool, so where are we eating your food? Where are you opening? In fact, like, one property company literally was serious. They were like, we've got a space open, like, it's available. We'll give you 3 months free. I was like, no, hold on. So the real actual plans is I'm working on a cookbook. So that would be one. And two, I'm going to be doing, like, a series of pop-ups with, like, chefs that inspire me at sort of several establishments around the country and internationally. So I've got a few that are already lined up for Cape Town as well as in London. And so I'll be planning that. And one interesting angle, which I think I'm still trying to work out the details of how to make it charitable. So we'll probably be working with some of the international chefs, which can draw, like, a huge audience. Yes. And then those people, we can then sell those tickets or do raffles and things like that and then bring it back to charity. Because while you're enjoying yourself, you can also do good at the same time.
Definitely.
And something that, yeah.
Inspirational. Seth Shezi, thank you so much for taking time to chat to me on Optikasi.
Thank you so much. I wish you all the
best with your future endeavors, and I'm still taking you up on that dinner date. So we will definitely.
I don't make empty promises, I promise you. I will do it.
Thanks so much.
And honestly, thank you so much for being so warm and beautiful. Thank you.
Optikasi met Ashmund Martin. Luister weer na hierdie insetsel op OFM.co.za.